For this morning, I'm going to use a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 17 to chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. I might well read it. So the verses 17 and 3 to 6 are these. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profits. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, that result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." What is, these are the words. You pray with me as I say, Heavenly Father, we are thankful again. How could we not, for all the things that you allow in our lives, for the lives themselves, a gift from you. For this world, a gift from you. For Jesus, a gift from you. For the life eternal, a gift from you. You are tampering us with gifts. So we are thankful. We are thankful also for the resources that are put at our disposition. And we pray that what has been offered here might have been offered with glad hearts and from the abundance that indeed we enjoy. And so often we spend on ourselves. But receive these, so that your name might be glorified and we may have joy. And also gift us today, we pray, with your word, with your Holy Spirit, with your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Even today's sermon will border on evangelism, will have an evangelism bent. So I'm going to look at these verses from a slightly different perspective, and that will probably be obvious towards the end. So let's start. Generally, I'll make some generalization again. Generally, our lives are a response or our responses to a particular situation or context of a real life situation. But probably what I want to say or what I mean to say is that we live our lives and most likely do not we respond to a situation. We find ourselves in our particular situation. We respond to that situation in different ways. We might hear some news, we respond to that news in a certain way. As Christians, we respond to life situations in a Christian way. That's a no-brainer, isn't it? And the Christian way to respond to whatever comes into our lives is guided by the Holy Spirit, guided by God's word. That's how we respond to every situation or a real life context, event in our lives. Just give an example, a theoretical example. We might become aware of a need, for example, different ways. So we respond to that need, either providing some words of comfort, either providing some financial help, or even praying for that particular those persons that are involved for that particular need. We bring, as Christians, we respond that way. Now, I'm saying this that we'll find in our verses a response, Paul's response to a certain condition, to a certain situation. Now, the Christian church was constantly in danger from false teachers. If you have read the New Testament, often Paul writes to certain churches, or even Jesus, in his teaching, he warned against false prophets. But Paul wrote against false apostles of the false people that will come with different messages and so on. At one point in Galatians, he says, if anyone comes to you with a different gospel, well, just write them off or something. Don't listen, because there is only one gospel. And that's the truth. There is only one gospel. So the church was constantly in danger. And these were men, usually men, spreading false teaching, unorthodox in the sense that they were not true in the Christian community. And often the, not their work was driven by the desire to profit in some way or another from doing the thing. You know, so we bring a message and people will then help these people with financially and other things. Some, if you remember, might have even had the thought that they are better than Paul. And they claim that Paul has no really nothing appealing. He's a very weak one. He's very strong when he's away, but he comes differently when he is among you. He becomes sort of malleable and so on. And the Corinthian church was, it appears that it was particularly prone to this sort of thing, because there were some divisions, if you remember. Paul, the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians saying, what do I hear about you? There are divisions, there are different factions, you know. So Paul tries to address that. In that church, a number of groups claimed to follow different teachers, different apostles. Some were with Peter, some were with Paul, some were with Apollos, remember? So there was a bit of discord there. Now, while the teachings of Peter, Paul, and Apollos weren't bad, weren't foreign to the gospel, but the image that the church projected outside was not favorable. What sort of church was that where you have different factions in it? In a second letter, Paul again addresses different situations that happened in the church in Corinth, but also contains the response to a particular situation, and we are now getting closer to our passage. Our short passage is a response that Paul wrote to a particular situation, and I'll explain that a little bit just in a few moments, and I will use these verses that I read. Those verses that I read before, I will use them to point out the way Paul responds and addresses that situation. There are some theological revelations in his response. We'll learn about those. And then at the end, we'll find some practical implications. So now that we know and we understand what Paul and why Paul wrote like that, what does it have to do with us today? So what's the situation? We find the situation in chapter 3, verse 1. He asks, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation from you or to you? So that's the situation. Those people that visited different churches, they came with certain letters of recommendation, right? Written by, we don't know who exactly, but and that's the custom even today. When someone comes to a church and somehow expresses the desire to preach, we would first ask, well, who are you, where are you coming from, and things like that. So they were using certain letters of recommendation. And Paul says, have we got to the point where we need a letter of recommendation to you or from you? Have we got that far, right? Keep in mind that Paul was very known to the church in Corinth, okay? And so he asked this question, what's going on? So the situation was that in churches, some people came with letters of recommendation. They were received. Some of them were well received. Some of them were quite esteemed, and so on and so on. How does Paul answer this situation? Defending his credentials, okay? Defending his credentials. Credentials, Paul claimed that he did not need such a letter of recommendation, right? He did not need such letters of recommendation. In his letter to the Corinthians, chapter, verse 2, he writes, you yourselves, chapter, verse 2, you yourselves are our letter. Yes, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. Everybody here means the people in the church and probably in the city, not that everybody in the world. But Paul says, you yourselves are our letter. We don't need of any letter of recommendation because you are a letter of recommendation for us. And that letter is written on our hearts, and that letter is known, and so on and so on. The very existence of the church in Corinth, for Paul, in his mind, was a letter of recommendation. And not only for him, but for anybody else. So the church in Corinth, a result of Paul's ministry, was the best letter of recommendation one could have. So people can come with all sorts of letters of some. You might have met or you might have heard, there are lots of diplomas around. Certain institutions can provide a diploma which looks like the real one, but it's not a real one. And sometimes those diplomas doesn't necessarily reflect someone's ability or the way the training is just a piece of paper. So at the end, it's just a piece of paper. If you don't know what that diploma says, you know, well, it's just a piece of paper. So that was the best recommendation for Paul. For Paul, the church was the letter of recommendation. And that's one way of looking at the church. Because if we leave it here, which is true, but it's not the whole truth, and I would like to focus actually on something else, straight after verse 2, he goes on. And I think at this point comes the revelation from the Holy Spirit, the theological revelation, let's call it. Actually, the church was a letter from Christ. So this is the main idea. I wanted to actually arrive that the church is a letter from Christ. Our church is a letter from Christ. So as he spoke, he took that idea of a letter of recommendation, and he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to look at the church now. And we know, for example, we know the church as a bride. In the New Testament, we know that the church is a holy people. Yes, the church can be viewed as the temple of God. So here we have another illustration or another metaphor, if I can use the term. The church as a letter from Christ. The church is a letter from Christ. Christ. This letter, not written on paper, see, it's written on tablets, the tablets of the heart, speaks Apostle Paul, that's the verse there, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, no need for a chisel to chisel it in stone, no need for ink, no need for laser printing, okay, because it's written with the Spirit of the living God, and it is written on our hearts, on our hearts. Now, this letter from Christ, of course, we have the author there. Immediately, we have the author there, Christ. He is the author of the letter. He is the best author of the letter. I think he's the best one who could write a book. And no matter what, in John's view, remember the Gospel of John, Jesus did so many things that would not be enough. All the books in the world will not cover what Jesus did. So it goes beyond our imagination. But he's the best author because he's not only the author of a letter, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. He is also the author of all other things that happen in the world out there. And he writes with a purpose because we also know that there are so many books out there that you don't really know why they are written. But this letter from Christ has a specific purpose. That letter from Christ speaks, and we'll come and cover some of these subjects. It's about him. And that's an interesting, in a sense, idea that this letter from Christ is from him, about him. From him, about him. Well, it's not an autobiography, definitely, but it is definitely written by the Son of God, who writes the truth, who knows the truth, and who died for us, just as we celebrated a moment ago. To whom this letter, you reckon, is written? Well, we say that this letter is written to the world, to the world, to people, to me and you. Christ writes a letter for the people. So put it this way, when the people out there, when the world looks at the church, they should see Jesus. So we can put it in the context of letter. If when people read the church, they should read Jesus. Yeah, see, that's the practical implication. The church ought to live and act in such a way that when people take a look, when people take a read, they should read Jesus. They should see Jesus. They should meet Jesus and so on. So now we can also, I won't go into that excursus, but we can think about how many churches out there in the world that actually present Jesus, project Jesus. So the letter is written for the world, so the world might know who Jesus is and what he has done. And of course, now we come to that evangelistic bent, that letter, it's about the good news. It's about the gospel. It's about this particular event, this particular sacrifice that Jesus did on our behalf. This particular laying of his life for our behalf. That's the content of the letter. And of course, it comes with the story, it comes with the gospels, it comes with the story as it continues in the life of the church. But basically, it's about Jesus. It's about the good news. The good news that God has mercy on us, as we already prayed in our prayers. And just to make a little bit of a tangential reference, the best letter from God, so to put it this way, is John chapter 3, verse 16. A letter from God, John chapter 3, verse 16. So if somehow in our discussion we will get to the idea of a letter, to the idea of a book, the idea of an affirmation, this is the best one to use. This is a letter that comes from Christ, from God to ourselves. So what do we do with all this? And here's what I intend to do with it. The church is an evangelistic tract. You are familiar with evangelistic tracts, aren't you? At one point, you might have used them yourselves. At one point, we have used it in our church for different pieces of paper or little booklets or different formats where the gospel is printed, written in some form or another, and we use those, and the church uses those to hand out to people. The church itself is an evangelistic tract. In light of what I've said before, the church, we are an evangelistic tract as a church. And again, somehow, in a sense, we would be curious to know, what sort of message do we project outside in this community? What do people think when they drive past our church? What do people think lately that we have a web page? What do people, I can do a bit of an advertising here. Doesn't work like that. But on the back of the newsletter, that's the church's page address. You can visit us on the web, and we have, so far, we have a calendar with events, and then also we have a page with podcasts, which that page intends to keep the sermons, and you can listen to the sermons at home at your leisure. So, for example, if somehow you missed parts of my sermon today, probably this afternoon or tomorrow, you'll be able to hear it on the internet. And again, I am thankful to Nicole for help, Grace, and other people that are involved in it. So we are an evangelistic tract for the world. And now, I'll say it. Brothers and sisters, you are an evangelistic tract. I am an evangelistic tract. So wherever you live, wherever you work, once you get out of, even in your homes, in your backyard, on your street, at your workplace, at school, you I, we are an evangelistic tract that people read. That people read. If you go to work, people read it every day. If you go to school, people read it every day. Once you get up in the, on the street, the neighbors read you. And of course, instantly can think, what are they reading actually? Our theological books and those tracts that we give out, they have their place. Now, theological books are a bit hard. Not many people read those. With the evangelistic tracts that we hand out, I would say that's the easy way. And we often used it because you give it away and you're done, in a sense. You give it away, you're done. But being an evangelistic tract, it's a different thing. So I would like us this morning to think about ourselves personally, that we are an evangelistic tract. We are, in a sense, a letter of recommendation for Christ, if I can use the term. People talking to us, people listening to us, people watching us, they will take that recommendation or not, based on us, in a sense. Of course, there's much more at work. We know that God works and God is sovereign of all things, but nevertheless, that message, that gospel, it's not preached by many other means. It's also preached by you and me. And while the message doesn't change, it remains constant forever in different situations, for different situations, me and you, we come ourselves. So when we present the gospel, we don't need to learn by heart certain techniques. I encourage you to come to that evangelistic worship. We're going to talk about these things. We don't need to learn certain techniques or word. You just need to be you. But more than that, Christ needs to be in you. And then you can use your language with your accent, like I'm using, with your knowledge, vast or limited, coming from your particular background, coming with a particular education, with a limitation, that's you. And you have been offered, and I have been offered, all the God's children have been offered, that timeless message to spread it, to give it away. And I think being an evangelist, and I said before, through our preaching and through our workshop, we will intend to raise this awareness that every one of us is ought to be an evangelist. Every one of us ought to be an evangelist. And it can be done, not, like Paul says, not because of us. See, he recognizes that how bold the answer he gave, saying that you are a letter of written by Christ, or we are what Christ is doing in your midst. And he says that doesn't come from us, it comes from God. So my call this morning is, as you go home, or as you chat, or as you think some more, or maybe as you listen to the sermon again in the afternoon or the days to come, think about the fact that you are an evangelistic tract. You are an evangelistic tract, a letter of recommendation written by Christ for the people. That's all I wanted to share with you this morning, to encourage you to make yourself comfortable with the gospel. Of course, again, I'm challenging you to put your name down for that evangelist worship, because part of what we're going to do together is to become more and more knowledgeable and more courageous about spreading the gospel. May God help us in that regard. I'll pray, saying, Heavenly Father, we thank you that even as Paul was addressing a certain context in the church that he was familiar with, he took that idea of the letter of recommendation, and through the Holy Spirit, you inspired him to realize that actually the church is a letter of recommendation. It's a letter from Christ. And more than that, every individual member, every participant, every attendee, every child of yours, in a sense, is a letter of recommendation. It's an evangelistic tract. So we pray that as we move in this world, we might be more and more letters of recommendations. We might be more and more evangelistic tracts for your glory. In your name I pray. Amen.